Come on, let's go to Acts 2. You enjoy that while I'm getting my mouth. No, was it worth going to that last song? I surrender. Yeah? It's good to get in the presence of God, isn't it? Good to enjoy Him. Good to enjoy doing life together as a church. Fantastic. All right, Acts 2. Come on, music team, come and fill the gaps. All right. Let me read this passage to you in the New King James Version. Acts 2:40. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." This is Peter. What's already happened is they've already had the upper room experience, the thing that they call the time of Pentecost. They've already had tongues come upon them from the Holy Spirit. And Peter has to talk to them. He's bold. And so he's saying to the crowd, which is quite vast, with many other words, he testified, exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's a good day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among anyone who had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Praise God." Praise God. You've got to praise God. When things are not good, you've still got to be praising God. And they're praising God. It's easier for some than others. I get that. We're all different. And there's stuff that goes on in our life, but we can still have internally the knowledge and the hope about what we sing about, that God is still with us. That's not my message, but anyway. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It's quite clear. Daily. Just excuse me, if I sniffle every now and then, it's just because Jeff gave me his flu. All right? So, but the early church was healthy, vibrant, and strong. And growth occurred through the power of the Holy Spirit. The best word as well. But through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to explain this a bit more. See, there was a Holy Spirit that was operating through people's lives. God wants to give you more power. Who believes that? Jess, I have to walk right over here because he wouldn't move. That's all right. God wants to give you more power. Yeah? God wants to give you more power here. Marg? Hello. Hello, Rosa. God wants to give you more power. Yes. He does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Conrad, God wants to give you more power. Amen. He does. Hello. Look at you. You're back from New York. I didn't even see you come in. How was New York? It was amazing. You got a good husband, eh? He looked after you. Welcome back, Andrew and Lucky. God wants to give you more power, Gemma. That got you, didn't it? Not just on the telephone, but power from heaven. God wants to give you more power. You can earn more money. God wants to give you. You're a blessed child of God, and as you walk with Him, you're very talented. That goes with the family without saying, really. But God's going to do things in your life that you weren't sure was going to happen. And I don't know what's going on internally, but something's resonating, right? I tell you, man, God's got his hand on you. It's going to be okay, and things are going to work out. Stay the course. Anyway. What's the point of doing church if there's no life? He's a good man, that Addison. He's a good man. In an age where the supernatural realm has come alive through television, I mean, can you turn on the television when there's not something supernatural happening these days? It's on our movie screens, and I like some of that stuff. I enjoy it. Don't go there with me afterwards, all right? But God's desire is that we be adequate and competent ministers of the Holy Spirit and His power. One avenue leads to death. Another avenue leads to life. Our future is healthy because we have more of His life, more of His Holy Spirit flowing through our veins. And the title of my message is The Spirit-Filled Church. Who'd like to be more Spirit-filled in the sense of His church? A Spirit-filled church. And we see glimpses of it. And, you know, we've had some healings. When Carmelo comes back, I think he went to Italy, wherever he is, I need to talk to him. He got totally healed of his back and his arm and all sorts of things. Someone prayed for him. I think it was Shane. Never see him, but anyway. There you are. I heard your voice. All right. They had the Holy Spirit on their life. I'm getting there, all right? I'm just warming up. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is a person. He's there. He's real. The Holy Spirit is also God. Now, some people don't get this. The Holy Spirit is? It's God. And as we present from the early, as he was present, in the early church, he's present right here and right now. Nothing's changed. Now, some commentators will tell you that we don't have to wait on God because it was done at Pentecost. I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit and without prayer in our life to increase the power of the Holy Spirit, then we are going to be very. It's going to be very difficult to impart more life, isn't it? More life to Betty. She's got more work to do. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me just mix things up a little bit by bringing out Exodus 32 to you. Old Testament, New Testament, just as briefly as I can. In the Old Testament, Moses goes up a mountain. And he's up there for a long time, in the people's eyes at least. He's gone for 6 weeks. I guess that is quite a long time in the presence of God. Man, I don't know if I'd be able to stand it, quite honestly. That's a long time. He's up there for 6 weeks. He's under the... You know, the more you get into a mountaintop experience, it's going to be more beneficial for your life. There are times when we need to actually have those mountaintop experiences. And what I mean by that is simply just spending time with God, so that he can rebuild us, refresh us, so that when we come into his house, we actually are ready to experience a greater expression of who he is and together. It's always something more corporately, as we've seen from Acts 2 earlier. 100 people or so gathered in the upper room. Phew, power of God. All right. And so, he's having this mountaintop experience, and it was at that time that I'm not very good at doing this, but I have to do it because otherwise I can't see you. You're all blurry. But I'll put him up there. And he's up there. The people down below are with Aaron, and they start going, "What do you think about this? This looks like a good idea." Now let me ask you something: had they already been told what to do? Moses has said to them what? Just wait. God's got a plan. The plan's already there. But what do they start to do? I know there's a new plan. I know I've got something better to do. I know if we do this. And so what do? They whittle their gold and stuff together and they make a golden calf. It becomes a cult, right? Pretty much. You know? A bit like those snake people right now. See that on the... I'm just going. That cannot be... Don't mention church and snakes in the same breath, all right? In that sense. If those of you have seen the Today Tonight or whatever it was on. Anyway, the point is, when we take out and decide that what we want to do, we stop the power of God in our life. Yeah? We turn a bit crazy. Most of the time. So Moses comes down the mountain, and he's not real happy. I don't think I would be either. He's got the tablets. He's waited on God. He's got the Ten Commandments. He's got the law in his hands. And they've already know what they're supposed to do because he'd gone up there with that intention. He wasn't sure. He said, but just wait, I'll come back. Aaron, you're in charge. I don't know how Aaron got through this, but that's another story. And long story short, who's with me and who's not? I couldn't believe it. There was a lot that said, well, no. I actually think this is a better idea. I think we should do this. God's appointed the leader, right? They know what to do. 3,000 people died. If you really want to have a good look at it, you can have a look at it yourself. It's a bit gory, but hey, it happened. It's Old Testament. It's black and white. 3,000 people died. Fast forward. New Testament. And rather than people deciding to make an idol to worship, I know, I think I should do this. They're what? They're in the upper room. Now, Jesus has come, right? They're in the upper room. Tongues of fire from heaven come upon them. It's an amazing experience, and the final result of what we've just read is that Peter's boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit in his life and all the good things that God is doing amongst the people, 3,000 people receive life, and there's kindergarten church. The law will always bring death. The power of the Holy Spirit will always bring life. How do you feel when you get picked up by the policeman because you're speeding? No one's ever been caught. Going too fast. Yeah. We can't obey the law. Well, there's things we need to obey. But you get my point. We're always going to do stuff wrong. Try telling that to an 18-year-old boy. You can't do that. Is it going to make any sense, difference? I've got one. Sorry, Jerry. All right. The Holy Spirit brings life, it brings excitement, it brings power, it brings expectation, and it brings purpose. Oh, what are we going to do? The letter of the law will hold you down. It will eat you up. But the power of the Holy Spirit operating. Guess what? They didn't even have the New Testament. They didn't have it. So how can it be the Word of God in that sense? Because they only had the Old Testament. So what was happening? The power of the Holy Spirit was coming as it was promised in John 14. The Holy Spirit had come upon them, and that was the life that God wanted us to portray. Paul says this, just to clarify, 2 Corinthians 3:6, just so we got some Bible in here. Who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you're a Christian, you are a minister. Every single person that has been born of God. You are a minister. You are a minister of the gospel of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit wants to operate and work through you. Jeff was great on this last week. God has no favorites, church. And we're all part of the plan. We're an army of men and women who can move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Who'd like to move more in the power of the Holy Spirit? And we've all got certain giftings. The Holy Spirit awakens them and brings them alive. And your connect group, some of you will have a gift of healing to pray for someone. Another one of you will have a word of wisdom. Another one of you, everyone thinks you're dry and boring, but actually you're pretty sound. And when you do talk, it's something that people need to hear. Everyone's got something. That's what makes church so great, right? We appreciate one another for who we are. And this is a whole part of this is the whole thing about Acts. In the Message Bible, I want to read it to you from the Message. I think I've got the scripture for it. Acts 2, 40-47. He went on in this vein for a long time, urging them over and over, get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. That day, about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. Turn to your neighbor and say, awe. I want to pick up on this. Everyone was in awe. People travel. Everyone around the world was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. All right, I've got 2 points. One first point: they lived in awe. Now I can't see anything. They lived in awe. They were amazed at God was doing by living in His Holy Spirit. I've got to take my jacket off. Sorry, getting a bit hot. Thanks, Jared. All right? So you don't have to step out on any adventure. You don't have to step out anywhere to receive. People go all around the world looking for things that are going to make them awestruck. Am I right? Grand Canyon? All those, it's all great. God made it. But, you know, does that give you purpose to your life? The purpose comes from actually having the Holy Spirit in our lives and operating through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we're all going, wow, we're in awe. We're in awe of God. Look at this. Ephesians 5:18 in the Message. Don't drink too much wine. Okay? Know when to stop. It says next, I don't know. I have got it. Okay. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Come on. Guzzle, 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 guzzle. What are we doing when we come into church? Guzzle, 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 guzzle. Why do I keep asking everyone to put their hands up? How can you guzzle if you got to have body language that shows that God, Holy Spirit comes on your life when you're open. I'm liking the huge drafts of Him. Come on. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. That's the old life, right? That pretty much applies to every Australian or every Australian that lives in Australia. Our culture is that we're big drinkers. We love our beer. But we, as Christian Australians, even if you're different cultures, we drink draughts of the Holy Spirit. We sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cool scripture. And so to be filled literally means this. To be filled And I've looked this up, so it's, you know, from the people that know these things. To be filled literally means this, to be filled and to keep being filled. In other words, the Holy Spirit hasn't just come and that's it, right? Because if it's a present tense verb, it's constantly filling. So we have to be constantly being refilled. What happens by the end of your day? Who's feeling a bit drained? Who needs a Mars bar? Who needs their chocolate fix or whatever? You know, it's the same with the presence of God. Doesn't it drain out of us? And so we have to. How do we refill? Got to get into His presence. Got to pray. Got to read His word. Got to spend time. We're not religious monks. We don't spend all day, but we spend time so we can refill. And the Holy Spirit doesn't take long to recharge us. He's an amazing God if we just give Him a moment. Now, Jared and I went surfing a fair bit down south and while I was on leave. I'm going to come back to this. We might go 5 minutes over. Is that okay? So when I'm surfing, I'm propelled along by the pressure or the force of the wave as it's breaking. It pushes me along. It propels me forward. And there's always a sweet spot on a wave. And you might be in the green zone. For those of you who aren't surfers, that means almost covered over inside the wave itself. You've seen guys like Taj Burrows, who we happen to meet down south, just drop name dropping there. Just you know. He surfed with me, someone said to me last week. Yeah. Anyway, and so some of you don't even know who he is, so it just went straight over your head. That's okay. The wave gives you the most speed when you're right in the pocket, you're right in the right zone. You know what I'm saying. That's the driving force is when you're right in that sweet spot. And we find our sweet spot through the power of the Holy Spirit being able to operate through us. Our sweet spot is when we can sense that God wants to do something, but will I or won't I? I'll come back to this. See, the apostles' teaching was not dry or dreary because, as the Word of God says, signs and wonders were accompanied. Acts 2:43. All right, they were in awe of what God was doing through them. It was not an isolated one-time event. God was demonstrating His amazing life. And God wants to demonstrate to all of us His amazing life. And sometimes when things are difficult, God wants to show His amazing life. And sometimes when things are good, God wants to show His amazing life. In fact, all the time, God wants to show His amazing life. We're the ones that are a little bit backward on this. Me particularly, in the sense that I come from an English background, you know, you've got to do everything in a proper way. If you've noticed anything about me, I've got to keep everything straight and ordered. But the Holy Spirit's nothing like that. Three 3,000 students were amazed at what God was doing as they sat in the apostles' teaching. Nothing's changed today, by the way. The Holy Spirit is our best opportunity for transformation, whatever that transformation may be. Have a good day, Gennaro. Fear came upon every soul, the Bible says. Such was the radical transformation that occurred amongst them all. And most of these people in the early church would have been witnessed to what preceded, in the upper room. And they were speaking in tongues, and the Bible says they were amazed and marveled. Who'd like to be more amazed and more marveled at what God does? And at this time, they were saying, well, hang on, they're Galileans. Why are they speaking that language? I know that language. The Bible says again, they were amazed and perplexed. What could this mean? See, the amazement and the good news of the Holy Spirit operating through our lives is because the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. Good news attracts, yeah? Good news does what? Attracts. Good news encourages love through unity of what God is doing through His church. Good news brings new life. And so one, there's got to be awe. I'm looking forward to hearing good results. even from the people we pray for, but also every one of us is a minister. I want to hear things. Will you please let me know? I want to hear what God's doing so that we can talk about the good news and the good stories of the power of the Holy Spirit operating through His church. Secondly, the Spirit-filled church will be evangelistic in nature. You can't get away from it. There's other things I've just picked two. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. The church sings and praises God together. Amen? All right, so we've seen that here too in the Bible, in Acts 2:40-47. The church worships together, yes? It breaks bread together, the Bible says as well. We do communion, and you can do that in your homes at any time with one another. The church prays together. Oh, church prays together. Right now, we're in a season where we're wanting the Holy Spirit. We haven't asked for it. It's just kind of happened. But I don't know about you, but I'd want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we can come to prayer, let's get there. I know some of you are working. You can't get there, but let's do our best. The church reads the word together, and under the influence and the propulsion of the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders occur. And what results is something dear to God's heart. See, the first Jerusalem Christians were not so preoccupied with learning, sharing, and worshipping that they forgot about witnessing. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, before this all happened. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit who created a missionary church. Yeah? You're all quiet on me. Is the Holy Spirit a missionary spirit? Will we do anything if we don't get a prompting from the Holy Spirit? We're not going to. But the good news comes when we decide to do what the Holy Spirit's asked to do. Yeah? Well, at least there's an opportunity for it. I'd rather have a go, wouldn't you? All right. Restlessly, the Spirit drives the church to witness. See, C3 Fremantle rose out of wanting a witness of the Holy Spirit, wanting to expand here. That's happened. Churches all around the world rise up out of the same witness. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When people are charged with the power of the Holy Spirit, they want to do something constructive so that people don't die, they have the life of God. And so we can learn from the early church about evangelism. And the Lord himself did it. The Bible's clear. The Lord added to their number. The Lord added to their number. The Lord, the pressure's off, guys. The pressure's off in that sense. The Lord added to their number. If we just do what the Holy Spirit asks us to do, who added? The Lord added to their number. It's not up to us. We know for a fact that when we try and get involved, it leads to most of the time it doesn't work. Behind it all was the propulsion of the Holy Spirit, the good news, the miracles, the awe of God draws people to himself. Excuse me. See, there was one wave I caught that I remember down south. I think it was down south. Anyway, when I was on holidays. And I remember doing the big bottom turn. It's quite a big wave. And then racing along the lip, gaining speed, doing a massive big cutback, spray going everywhere, coming back into the wave. And at that point, you're behind it. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the wave's going to be doing. And as I curved around and came back, it started to open up and cause a small little barrel section. I thought, I'm going in. I'm going for it. And I could see the end and the lip and bounced off and almost do an air and land again. Now, what was quite incredible was that as I started paddling back out, I couldn't help but chuckle. Marcel, you know that feeling. I'm paddling back out, and I'm just sort of like just paddling back out to where the wave was breaking, and I'm just chuckling. Just kind of like, whoa, that was so good. I didn't even knew that was going to... Yeah, it was just... And it made my day. I know. Okay, some of you, it's just like, I get that too. But let me say something. No Holy Spirit, no good news. No miracles. No joy, no freedom. Death's not far away. See, I had to make a decision because the waves sometimes down south, they're quite big. And I had to go, am I going to go for it or am I just going to? And I thought, you know what? I'm going for it. And I never knew sometimes how it was going to turn out. But I'm sure glad I had a go than didn't. And question afterwards, I wonder what that wave would have been like. Isn't it the same when God's prompting us? When God's got his Holy Spirit on our life, and it could be in the music or it could be in the connect group, and you know you've got something to say that actually could make the difference for that person, but you clam up. Or you don't say what you know you need to say. Or you know you should come to prayer, but oh, you know, I'm busy doing this or that. But I tell you, when we go for it, when we get into the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, we don't know always how it's going to turn out at the end, but it's better to have a go and start to see the chuckles starting to come and the joy in people's lives because you've started to affect the whole atmosphere and presence of God in youth, in church, in everywhere. There is going to be a change as the wind of the Spirit gets a hold of us. But you've got to determine to go for it. Don't you? I'm going to have a go. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, not that bad, is it, really? You make up, I don't feel that right now. Or someone might say, well, let's just trust what God's put on our hearts and leave the rest. Let's not be so worried about what we might be thinking about who we are. Yeah? Let's trust what God has for each and every one of us. Because I remember giving some, sometimes I have a word for someone, like just a little word for Marcel before. And we can do this in our connect groups. We can do this in the cafe, can't we? Isn't the Holy Spirit part of our life? And it could be the one thing that actually helps them get through the next week. But I remember I gave some really bad prophecies when I first started just speaking out. That's okay. That's over. It's all right. But let's have a go. Let's enjoy God. Let's see what God has for us. It's bigger. It's brighter. It's better. It's better than not doing anything. Isn't it? We don't need you, Yana. It's all good. You can just sit and enjoy. See, when we're in the zone of the Holy Spirit, we're in that sweet spot for our lives. We can do amazing things. See, I've got the, let's go to the Spirit-filled church, that one. It's an apostolic church, eager to believe and obey, and I'll finish this up. They persevered in their love for one another. They were related to God and each other through their worship, which brought great joy and good news. They were engaged in continuous evangelism because they were not absorbed in their own affairs. Now, you've got your own affairs, but what I'm saying there is that you're still listening to the Holy Spirit. See, I was saying that I really know how a wave's going to turn out when I'm writing it. Sometimes it's heart and the mouth stuff when you go, I'm going for it, especially when you're in big waves like down south. But the reward generally outweighs the, I wonder how that's going to turn out. Our faith in moving in the area God wants us to go under the compulsion of the Holy Spirit can bring unbelievable rewards that only God can do. Only God can do. See, we've got to trust God. What's our faith in God if we actually don't trust Him? How do you think Peter's faith was going up until this point? I mean, all right, they've had the Holy Spirit, they've had the tongues of fire,
And then he's going to speak probably a couple of sentences, he thinks, and God just opens up this whole spiel for him. He quotes from the Old Testament, talks about Joel, talks about visions and dreams, and 3,000 people. How good is he feeling right now? It all started with one word. Look at this. See, if you turn over the page or go to the next part, Peter and John, I think it was, were going to the temple about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's this guy there that's actually been totally, totally crippled since he was 46 years old, and he came out of his mother's womb crippled. And he bends down, Peter, just abbreviated version, bends down. The guy thinks he's going to get a coin, and he literally pulls him to his feet. Now, that takes boldness and courage, but he knew the power of God was going to do something. He'd already seen what God was doing. Guys, he'd already seen what God was doing. When we get the momentum on this, when we start to hear more and more good news, how much easier is it for God to do even more amazing things amongst us? And so he lifted him, and then crack, bang. And he's leaping and praising God. And there was another Christian in the house of God. The Bible says it. And more people came to Christ. More people came. Can we do this together? Can we make a few steps together? Let's be good news people. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be a spirit-filled church in the sense of the early church. Lord, that we would use what you've given us. Father, that we would be in awe and have great news, but also, Lord, that we would be bold and that we would go for it. And sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to trust you, Lord, more in our lives because we want your Holy Spirit to invade our lives and our church in the mighty name of Jesus. People of God said, amen.